Welcome back at WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It is all-star game magic here this week, even though I've been wistful about 30 years ago this week and the all-star game being at Camden Yards. Four Orioles on display out in the Western time zone at the Rutschman Dad Home Run Derby, and then the Birds come back home this weekend. Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be here on Thursday doing all things post-all-star game. And really, it's summer. You're going to be fishing. We're going to be vacationing. I'm going to have my feet in the Atlantic Ocean before maybe even the Pacific Ocean before the month is over. Football is a little bit away here. But this all-star game that feels like I want to watch it, that's nice. That feels more like, reminds me of my dad, Dennis.
Yeah, it feels very nice. And you have a father and son combo with Ali Rutschman and his father pitching to him at the all-star game. How great is that? Orioles doing well. They had their own home run derby against the Twins the other day, right? The bombs left and right all over the stadium. And I even watched the first round of the MLB draft for the first time in my life, thanks to guys like you. And I saw the Orioles pick a center fielder with their 17th pick overall. Very fast young man. So I'm all
well,
in.
You know, they used to do it on Morse code, like in a closet while the NFL was making billions of dollars on it. They've at least sort of caught up to the fact that we should get organized here.
Yeah,
and maybe
that's great.
That Sunday made people, they have the attention of the world. They have my attention on Saturday night, right? Like Adam Jones is playing in a softball thing, and the young guys, Holidays playing, Kerstadt, they're all playing out in Seattle. And then it used to be celebrity rock and jock. It used to be the home run derby was embargoed. 30 years ago, they had the home run derby here, Dennis. It's a true story. I don't know if I've ever told this one. I sat in the dugout with Mark McGwire that day. They didn't throw me off the field because everybody in Baltimore knew me. All the guards, all the police, everybody knew me. I sat in the dugout when Griffey was wearing the hat backwards.
Nice.
Like all of that. I was literally, if you watch the footage, I was in it. But it took me to talking to Luke about it to remember this. The home run derby happened in daylight. Go watch it. It was not telecast live. It was tape delayed. And it was truly embargoed. Now, there was no internet, so the word couldn't get out. WBAL went on the news at 6 o'clock that night and didn't tell anybody who won. You know what I mean? Like, it was over with, but we were embargoed to say,
right,
let's not tell anybody until they watch it on ESPN and Chris Berman goes back, and all that. Different time, different place, right, as to what baseball has become. And now we get to drink in it a little bit, right? Like having players in this, being in a pennant race, you and I were talking about slumping last week, and they haven't lost since, like literally.
Yeah, well, maybe you and I should talk about them slumping some more, but it was great to see them select Enrique Bradfield, the kid from Maryland, Matt Shaw, shortstop, went 13th overall to the Cubs. A lot of exciting things with baseball. The Orioles made a couple moves, right? Brought up a couple of young guys from the minors. Jackson Holliday now playing double-A ball. And I'm telling you, man, this team's future is very, very bright. They continue to impress. The pitching staff has been able to hold it together. They've been able to get past the slump. The bats have come alive at the right time. And I'm really sad to see the All-Star game at this point in time because the team is hot right now.
What's amazing to me, and I talked to Luke about this a little bit this week, we've talked so much here, it's Rutschman, and when it's not Rutschman, it's Gunner, and can Mountcastle come back, and look at that Cedric Mullins, can't live without him, and Aaron Hicks, and all this. We don't talk much about Austin Hayes, do we? I mean, you're on the show twice, so I'm on your show, a couple hours on Thursday and Sunday. It's like Austin Hayes, he's been here forever. He's sort of part of the furniture. He's part of all these losing teams. He's hurt a little bit. He never struck me as an all-star game starter. Yet here we are amongst all these people. He has become a bit of a rose in that garden, right?
He has. Whenever I hear of Austin Hayes, I think of Marquis Hayes of the Globetrotters. Remember that? And Marcus Hayes to show you how. Rodney Allen Rippey, take a bow. So that's my shout out to Austin Hayes. And it's great to have him in the lineup. Looking forward to seeing him participate in the All-Star game, but it's great to have participation by four Orioles, and it looks like we have many young rising stars, and we should have some All-Stars in this game for many years to come.
I got to tell you my Harlem Globetrotters story at some point. I'll tell you on your show, maybe later in the week, I'll give you my Harlem Globetrotters. I have a philosophy on life about the Harlem Globetrotters. Early Neal did come into the studio and hung out for an hour, and I was very, very, I was blessed to have that happen.
This must have been a nostalgia week, and I went back and watched the Hagler-Hearns fight, the three rounds, and I showed a good buddy of mine, younger, the Ron Lyles-George Foreman fight. That was an absolute five-round slugfest, right? So, and what prompted it was I started watching the Creed series, the Creed movies. Got for
Okay.
Creed 1 and Creed 2, and not feeling him enough to watch Creed 3, but at
When's the
some
last
point,
time you watched Rocky One?
it's been a minute. But they don't compare. I mean, those Rocky movies were much better than what they rolled out with these Creed
Well, that's
movies.
why I don't watch movies. People ask me, why don't you watch movies? I'm like, because every time I talk to somebody about a movie, like if the movie's going to be good, like this Wham movie I might watch before it's all over with, like the
Saw the previews.
I pick my spots for movies and stuff like that. But the boxing thing, like I see it now, and I watch UFC and MMA, and it's amazing how it's been taken to a different level. I mean, really, the savagery of it I'm talking about. And you talk about the savagery of Hagler-Hearns, or this morning Sugar Ray Leonard showed up on my timeline beating up on Duran and some other people for whatever reason. So there is a little boxing on the brain.
Yeah, there is, for whatever reason. I don't know. Again, I started watching some of those Creed movies, and I said, no, this is, even modern day Dan, you talk about savagery. Boxing has actually gotten cleaner. They've cleaned it up a bit. It's not as savage as it used to be. Whereas the UFC, that cleaned up somewhat, but it's still such a barbaric sport. I mean, the early UFCs, when there were virtually no rules whatsoever, they were pure, just
Well, I used to
barbaric
have Axel
matches.
Rotten on here up in Philadelphia. They had this crazy wrestling matches with the barbed wire and the bat. He brought the friggin' bat in with all the barbed wire into my studio. And like I've been through all of that. It's just not where my pleasure zone is these
Yeah,
days. You know what I mean? Like,
you've had some characters in your studio. You have some props in your studio for sure over the
let me
years.
ask you this, because I would do this off the air, but since we're doing a segment, it's All-Star Game Week. Celebrate my 25th anniversary, and you're about to do a little getaway as well. So it's good that I'm asking you this. I'm going to ask you on the air. You're the first one I've asked on the air. I've told Luke to make a little side list, but you've been a sponsor here for most of the 25 years. We're trying to celebrate appropriately, and I know you've been through some celebrations at Coons with 25th anniversary, 35th,
Sure.
and all that kind of stuff, right? This is 25th anniversary for a small AM radio station that thanks to people like you and so many people like you that have kept us going here all this. How should we celebrate 25 years? I mean, the best idea I have, and I'm definitely going to do this, and this is Joe Enoch, thank you, as well as Bill Cole, because they came up with this. I'm going to do the top 25 moments of WNST. And I started to put the list together, right? And I don't want to be a spoiler, but like the march in New Orleans with 10,000
Ah,
people.
that was great.
Okay, Free the Birds,
That was great.
like, road trips, we've done all of these things, right? Like just all of these events, none of them, the top 25, had anything to do with a radio segment. Now, that's not to say that I've not done great radio segments, or that's sort of the backbone of all of it, was making the radio station interesting and compelling enough to make people want to come to it and be a part of it and making it intelligent for people. But like, I don't even have my top 25 interviews or guests or moments. And I don't even mean like Joe Namath or whoever the celebrity would be, right? I mean, we've had the Secretary of State on here, right? Like, we've had all sorts of people on the air. Bill Cosby called in, Henry Winkler called into this. I mean, we've had all of these people over the years call in, be a part of it. But I think for me, with the people, when I bring it up to people, a guy this morning said, I had so much fun on your Belmont bus. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't put that in my top 25, but it's number one
Right,
for
but he
him.
did.
But he did. It's number one for him. If you went on one road trip with me to Cleveland and went to the Hall of Fame, or went on one Yankee bus trip, or you went on, I mean, my God, how about the road trip to New Orleans with five buses and my wife out of the White Marsh parking lot with 250 Super Bowl tickets? Like, we've done amazing stuff here. But like, when you think, if I die tomorrow, what do you think of NST? What would you think of when you say 25 years of
Yeah, well,
NST?
I think for me, for a number of reasons, the March New Orleans, that really stood out because I was there with Bruce Posner and his family, and we
I didn't
all
even know
marched
you were in that. I don't think you've ever mentioned it to me.
yeah, in fact, I was on your boat cruise there with Ryan Billick that year too. I was there. You guys were
Now, there's
gracious
another
enough.
moment in an event that when we went by and the NFL Network put us on and we
Yeah.
were all cheering off the boat, that's pretty good. That was a moment. That was a
It was
moment.
a pretty cool moment. Yeah, Billick was there on the boat, and A lot of phenomenal memories, but that's what really stands out for me, Ness, because it was like small Timor. Everybody was there. It was what, close to 20,000 of us converging on the Superdome down there, and it was just the march and then the game and the trip back. And it would have been a long, long trip had the Ravens defense not held on in that those last four downs right in the end zone.
That
And the
was a
goal
moment.
lines. It was a moment. So it was
I
just
went
so
down
many
and sat with my
memorable.
pal Jason Pappas during the blackout because he was sitting,
Yeah.
he was near me, near the press box where I was. And I went down and like it just felt like forever and ever and ever. You remember where you were when the lights went out, when they
Oh,
went back
absolutely.
on, the whole thing.
Absolutely. You know, people around us, like, they're like terrorists. We're like, nah, Vegas. We figured Vegas was trying to do something to slow the Ravens' roll. And they did. I mean, it took 85 minutes for Joe Flacco to touch the football again. And I think that was instrumental in the Ravens cooling their jets. Although Jacoby Jones did return the opening kickoff of the second half for a touchdown. We just thought the route was on, and it was. And it was a phenomenal comeback by the Niners and a phenomenal finish by the Ravens defense. It was a complete team victory, and to be a part of that experience, that as a fan and as an analyst, was just a fantastic thing, Nestor.
Well, I've written a book on both of them. So come on out to Costas on the 3rd or
Yeah.
Drug City on the 4th. I'm just giving the books away, what I've got left. I've got a couple dozen left. Anybody that wants to read it, come on out. I have free stuff to give away to everybody on the 3rd and 4th for the 25th anniversary. Dennis Kolatsos is here. He is over at Koons Baltimore Ford. Making things happen. Give me a little summertime look at the car industry and find it. Give me the elevator speech on that, because there are plenty of people when it's 100 degrees out there thinking, I need a different vehicle.
Yeah, we have phenomenal incentives right now here at Koons Ford of Baltimore. We have a lot of 0% on most of our 22s. There's some 0% for 23s, Mustangs, Mach-Es, Escaped Edges, Broncos, Expeditions, you name it. And the other thing is we have a lot of inventory. We have 250-plus brand-new vehicles. Just saw two truckloads come in today. Lots of pre-owned vehicles, over 200 of those, and business is very good, Nestor. Seems like there's demand, pent-up demand out there that's flushing, and again, we have more inventory than most, so people don't have to settle. They can find something real nice here. Our second, third, and fourth best choices are superior to our competitors' first choice, so that's what happens at Koons Ford. Baltimore people can save money here, and the selection is second to none.
Get on over there and get a new set of wheels if you need that.
Oh,
I'm thinking Young MC, got no money, got no car. I'll sing that. It's funny you would mention Super Bowl 47 and those memories, because most of my closet cleaning involves Super Bowl 35, right? Like most of my stuff, talking about shirts, hats, memories, pictures, tchotchkes, things under glass. In that era, I put stuff under glass. In the modern era, all my 47 stuff sits in a box. I never put it up and turned it into a 5-foot by 8-foot mural. But I have all the Super Bowl 35 stuff. Boy, that I started to think about it. I have this thing on the wall with all of the covers from the magazines that week. You've been in the studio, Sporting News, ESPN, Sports Illustrated, Rob Burnett, Goose arm wrestling with Michael Strahan, all of it autographed, Ray Lewis tackling, like all, you know, all the Sports Illustrated did their year in review where Ray's on the cover. And, you know, I think back 22 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking to myself, the birth of the radio station and how far back that is. And as I start to see, you know, people like Goose leave us and these memories we have of him at the barn and different stuff like that. This is when summertime, when you start going through old things, you're like, wow, time's passing, but the Orioles are good again and the Ravens are good again. And there might be two miracles here. You know, one thing I saw going through archives, I saw a picture I had that it's got Wes Unseld in it. And it's at the arena or the Civic Center. Let me call it by its God-given name.
That's right.
CFG Bank Arena, but the Baltimore Civic Center. And there was a banner up during, I guess it was the 72 year, 71, 72, that said Baltimore City of Champions. That he's shooting a jump shot, and you
sure.
can see the banner behind him. And I think to myself, I just want to win once. Either way, either one of these teams, it's been a decade. I mean, poor Luke always comes on and reminds me he was born in October of 1983. And I think to myself, you know, where is the next one? Where are the pile divers? And certainly this time right here, All-Star game. And I had Robbie Jr. on from Robbie's First Base this week talking about their Babe Ruth Museum event going on this weekend, the card show. You know, he said this is the most prosperity the Orioles have ever had because it's homegrown. They're there, but they need to grow the business side of this to support it. Certainly put their games on television on Friday night, so we're not all looking for them in bars, wherever we are. Luke couldn't watch the game in Wild. What's terrible? So, but I would say for the football team to have that prosperity built in and have been through Lamarathon, these couple of weeks, August, September, October, we're going to have a pennant race and the beginning of a football season that has hope. Plane's going to take off around here come Labor Day, Dennis. It really is. I mean, it's going to feel, from a sports perspective, different around here than it's felt maybe ever. And maybe it's not as big as it ever was. Because we had some largesse with sports here where Ravens tickets were $200, $250 to get in. It's not that anymore. But there is a buy-in level for everybody who wants to love these teams that this is a good time. It's a good time to be on a bandwagon.
Oh, it's a fantastic time to be on a bandwagon. Even on my show, we've talked 90% of the time about the Orioles and very little to speak of with the Ravens. And
you've been doing it for 15 years here, and that has never been the case.
Been the case, right? I mean, I've been to six games, which is probably – I haven't been to six games in the last decade, ever since Buck. It's been a long, long time. I mean, it's been a long, long time. But, look, give me a good product, I'm all in. Bad product, I would support the Ravens. I mean, I'm a hardcore, diehard football fan, but – With baseball, you got to give me something to cheer for. And it's nice to know the players. It's nice to grow up with the players. It's nice to watch them go from, you know, A ball to double A to triple A to up to the minors, and you follow their careers. So I'm invested. I'm bought in. And I'm very, very glad that my attention will be split post-Labor Day versus as in years past. The Orioles have been done for a long, long time since Memorial Day, right? So it's nice that they have the best record, I think, since 1997.
Dennis, they didn't get to Memorial Day. I mean, they were dead on arrival at spring training most. I mean, I'm not being mean. I mean, there was never any prospecting for them to be a 500 team. No, but I mean, that's part of the have or have not, right? And there's some haves in the NFL right now that really are have-nots. There's some teams that think they're – I mean, the Jets, you already got the Jets in the playoffs. I don't know. Maybe they will be. But if they're in, somebody else will be out. And, you know, somebody's going to be disappointed.
I like that division. I like the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins banging heads. And the Patriots are still the Patriots until further notice. I like that division to be hyper-competitive. And I like when they beat each other up. It's good for the Ravens.
They get assigned a pass rusher or a corner before camp begins? Or what do you
– One would think. They need both. They don't need one. They need both. They need some depth for sure. And that's what scared them about this team, just injuries, right?
They're going to miss Calais Campbell.
Yeah, they are. Calais was a dude. He was, what you know, Walter Payton's Man of the Year, 2019, 2020.
I put him in the Hall of Fame just because he played so well here at the end of his career. I mean, these last couple of years, I mean, I go back to Arizona, like Jacksonville. And I don't know how he'll play this year. I mean, time will tell and we'll find out. But he would have been – would have been better to have him than not have him.
Oh, he's a Hall of Fame human being. Like I said, there's only this few guys, certain guys you want in your locker room. He's definitely one of them. You know, he's one of those guys, salt of the earth type of a person and phenomenal athlete. Do I think he's a Hall of Famer? Absolutely do.
Hey, by the way, the last thing I ever did as a media member when after I got after at Pittsburgh, the last human I met in the NFL, I walked up to Calais Campbell in the Heinz Field Dak for sure, whatever they're calling it now. And I introduced myself and he remembered me because he had sat in at Super Bowls on Radio Row and he remembered me. And he's, you know, polite because I had not met him through the plague and we had no access to players. Call Chad Steele on that one. But I did go up to Calais. It was the last thing I did in the locker room in Pittsburgh was say hello to him. I walked out. And I think I've gotten my last NFL press pass. So if that's my goodbye was saying hello to Calais Campbell, who's going to go into the Hall of Fame. I'm okay with that, then.
Hey, it reminds me of my story with Ben Watson. Met him at my old gym, and talk about another really, really good man. I'll put Ben Watson way up there. Same category as Calais Campbell.
I saw Ben Watson give an unbelievable speech with his wife at Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Shout out to Frank Kelly and Kelly and Associates and the Kelly family. I was a guest every year. Harbaugh has spoken at that. And they brought in Lou Holtz one year. So it's a great year. But Ben Watson was the centerpiece one year and his family. Just, you know, and I got to know him a little bit when he was here. And then he got injured. Hey, man, no, let's not talk injuries here. I'm going to be on your show on Thursday afternoon from 3 to 5. It is a Sunday Sports Voice. We'll be back on Sunday. He is out. Wheeling, dealing, selling cars in air conditioning. They'll sell you the car in the air conditioning. The car will have air conditioning just for
Will do.
everybody this week. And I hope everybody enjoys the All-Star game this week. And Dennis, I'll reconvene with you here later on in the week. But man, it feels like we shouldn't talk so much football because we got like 2 weeks and then we're going to have to talk football and be into it. But I'm chomping at the bit. I'm getting there. You know, once we get through the All-Star
Oh,
game,
man,
we're going to cut a couple games, Marlins, and we get the Dodgers in here next week. Then all of a sudden, you know, Luke will be putting on his I found, you know, I'm going to give Luke to wear. I found the Brian Billick straw hat
Ah, nice. That one.
from Hard Knocks. I'm going to give that to Luke. I've
You have
decided
that hat? You have the hat?
I have one of Brian's hats. Yes.
That's awesome. That's great. That's going to be worth a lot of money one day, if
Well,
not already.
It's too big for me because his head's bigger than mine.
Oh, he's a tall man with a
He had
big
a lot of
head.
thoughts in there too,
A
Brian
lot
did.
of brain power, a lot of gray matter up there for
I'm gonna
sure.
call Brian, get him around here too. He
Yeah, man.
he's you know what he's doing, and this is the reason I've left him alone. He took up golf
Did he really?
at 60. He was 67 years old, I think, when he first held a golf club, like something crazy. And he's become like obsessed. He's playing
Oh
like
my.
five, 6 days a week, and.
Not surprised there, but I still remember when he walked through Coons Ford to Baltimore to meet all my team members and showed off the ring. You know, he was a very gracious man, very, very, very good man.
Yeah, I don't want to play him in golf though. I saw him taking tee shots at his own tournament down in Queens. He couldn't play. So, I mean, but he's an athlete, and but
He's
he's
an
got all of
athlete.
that baggage at 6 foot 6. You know what? He's got all of that.
He's a big guy.
The open swing. All right, Dennis Colazzo. If you see a guy out there in a fishing cap that looks like my Window Nation ad, out on one of the ponds around this area, it's probably a Dennis draining some fish before the end of the summer.
That's right.
I am Nestor. We are WNST. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, the Maryland Lottery. We have a handful of these left. We're going to be giving these away. Cocos. Going to be at Cocos on Thursday the 13th, and then out at the Beaumont right near Coons Baltimore Ford at Sturdy Boulevard. We're going to be over in Catonsville at the Beaumont at Frederick and Beaumont in the heart of Musicland, Maryland, next Thursday the 20th. And then we're off to Costas and Drug City to celebrate 25 years on August 3rd and 4th. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.